Artlist.io.
Welcome to Mental Edge, unlocking the mind of athletes. Join us as we delve into the mental game of top athletes, uncovering the resilience, struggles, and breakthroughs that define champions. Whether you're an athlete, a fan, or someone navigating life challenges, this is your space to feel inspired, connected, and empowered. Together, we'll explore the stories behind the stats, proving that even the greatest face trials and tribulations. So let's sharpen your mental edge and take your first step towards becoming the best version.
Welcome to our first episode on the game within the game, mental strength and resilience. So yeah, I mean, I just want to kind of talk about just kind of what mental resilience kind of meant to me and what it can mean for you. And I think just in the context of sports has been such a near and dear kind of thing for me, especially as it's been an outlet for me from school, from life, just in general. It's always been something that's been constant in my life that I don't know if I would have made it to this point without it. And it's crucial for you as a kind of player of a lot of these sports to kind of overcome many of the obstacles that are kind of thrown your way. And that could be seen from just kind of anxiety, things like injuries or other setbacks, or even just self-doubt. There's been many a times where I haven't really backed myself to kind of be the best possible John Gates for my sport. As a soccer player, confidence is everything. If you're not confident in your abilities, it's kind of tough to do the things that you need to do to better yourself at not only like things in the field, but kind of personally too. And I just kind of want to talk about just how mental resilience definitely matters more than we kind of think. Due to the trials and tribulations are kind of the main areas that we are kind of put in a position to not only better ourselves, but to become better people overall. And I just think it's incredibly disingenuous when a lot of people are like, oh, it's just a game. It doesn't matter. I mean, people pour thousands of hours into these kind of games, and it's more than a game to a lot of us. I know some people can kind of feel that, but it truly is more of a game. And the stigmas kind of surrounding mental struggles in sports, and it's to a point where a lot of these athletes don't feel heard. They don't feel like they belong. They don't feel like their time and their effort and their blood, sweat, and tears aren't necessarily put in the right place because of a simple thing, self-doubt. And I just kind of want to talk about that and just kind of being openly honest. During COVID, it was a tough time for me without being able to play my sport with a lot of my friends and family. It was tough for me. And going through that, it was definitely a stage where I didn't feel as though I was necessarily getting better. And it was right before I got to college, before I got to my first university. But it was a tough time. I mean, every day felt the same, but everything minus soccer. And it was tough getting through those days. And sometimes I questioned if soccer was the right sport for me. And that was tough. That was tough because soccer was such a kind of, it was my center. And was that the best thing mentally for some? Maybe not, but for me, it was. And I am forever grateful for my time playing soccer, and who knows in kind of the future and what kind of soccer kind of has for me, but I thoroughly enjoyed my time. And I think one thing that really helped me along like the path when I was struggling was mindfulness and kind of visualization. I think those two things are definitely big things for a lot of athletes. Mindfulness is something that can be there to kind of calm your mind, to kind of recenter you on what's important in life, and kind of bring you back to what's truly, like I said kind of before, what's important. And that helped me kind of get to the point of kind of rethinking and refinding the ability to be more than just a soccer player. Because I definitely think I pigeonholed myself to kind of that. And I definitely felt COVID was a big time for me to kind of figure out who I kind of am kind of beyond the sport. And I thought visualizations kind of paired with this made the game easier for me. It was easier to kind of move on, kind of have that next play mentality, and to understand that mistakes are going to happen, of course. It's sports. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. And I think that kind of visualization definitely helped me with my self-talk. My self-doubt plummeted, and I was more confident. There were still times, I'm not going to say I was fully not doubting myself, but if I was, it was not because of necessarily myself, but it could be something that a teammate said or something that my coach said that had me just kind of reeling. But it never truly was self-doubt the way it was before COVID. And I'm really thankful for that. And I just want listeners to kind of reflect on their own kind of mental challenges. I think being able to have your kind of outlets to when you're sad, to when you're angry, to even when you're happy, I think those are key kind of things for many of us to kind of have. And I think just kind of just reflecting, just kind of just take 5 seconds, jot down a few things. What can I do to better my mental health? And if you're an athlete, that this is a perfect time to kind of go a little bit deeper, to understand yourself more than just you're a soccer player, a football player, the basketball player, the volleyball player, the softball player, and so on and so forth. We're a lot more than these things. We're people first, or that kind of second, third, or fourth. And so I just encourage you to kind of take maybe more than 5 seconds, take 10, 20, 30, or however long you think, and just kind of jot down things you think are impactful in your life. And then as you move on from that, what do you want to be your center? And I want you to think about that. Truly, what is your center? And next, I kind of want you to kind of take a little bit more time, and I want you to kind of, in a way, question what's the biggest mental hurdle you have faced in your life, in sports or just in general, and how'd you tackle that? I think problem solving within our problems is a key skill to have, even if it's not in sports. Problem solving is key. I mean, that's why engineers are paid the big bucks, because they are the reason why we have the things that we have. If it wasn't for the earliest engineers, we wouldn't have the phone, the computer, the refrigerator, so on and so forth. So just kind of understand, how did you deal with those mental hurdles? And for me, I was able to kind of jump over these mental hurdles through kind of putting things off. Is that the best kind of way and use of my time? No, but in this kind of track kind of reference of kind of jumping over these hurdles, I definitely did run away from them. And that kind of made it so it piled all on me. And when school was bad, it bled into my soccer. And when soccer is bad, it bled into my school. And to kind of get past that, my kind of outlet was just kind of talking with a lot of my friends, a lot of my family. And I think talking and being vulnerable are tough things. And just kind of being the man I am today, it was tough to open up. It was definitely tough. You're kind of taught to be strong, to be kind of the man in the house. You can't really have emotions. You have to kind of always be hard. You can't be soft. So opening up was definitely hard for me. And I think once you get kind of past that, by continuous exercises of being I guess, to a point of such vulnerable kind of times that it kind of takes you to be kicked down to kind of rise and to get to a point where you're definitely comfortable with yourself, to a point where you're able to kind of talk with people about your kind of deepest, not necessarily darkest secrets, but about what kind of bothers you in life. And I think that's key. To understand yourself is to understand that you're more than just the things that you do. Your thoughts aren't always put on display. So just understanding that you are, in totality, a lot less to others in the way that they only see you a certain way because it's what you give them. But you don't always give them 100%. So kind of giving someone at least closer to that, if that's 70%, 80%, 90%, it's definitely a skill that it's tough. And I think that kind of vulnerability can lead you to a lot of things. It leads to trust on the field. It can lead to a lot of those kind of things that everyone kind of wants. Everyone wants to be successful, whether in sports or in life. And this episode, I just wanted to kind of talk about these type of things. I mean, we think back to, I guess, the best example I can think of is the Michael Jordan flu game. I mean, that's a level of physical kind of, it's a physical hurdle that Michael Jordan had to kind of overcome. And I think it took a lot, because I've had many a times where I've been sick and I've kind of drawn away from trying to try and play through that, because I knew that on the flip side or on the back side that the pain was going to be too much. And that was me kind of being a little bit mentally weak, but that's just kind of how, in my opinion, funny enough, society is today. And he wasn't mentally weak. And I think today, I think we are, in a way, mentally weak, not because it's kind of a little bit, in a way, how we're parented and coddled. I think it kind of starts with how we're coddled from such a young age that it's kind of tough to go against adversity at times, because your parents kind of fix your problems from a young age, and it's always easy. And when stuff kind of hits the fan, it's really easy to kind of give up and just be like, I've been taught to kind of cede a lot of my problems to other people. And I think that's a skill that's learned early on. And that's why you kind of see a lot of people that are older calling my generation soft. And I think they're true. I think there's so much truth and validity to that statement that my generation is soft. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that a lot of the mental struggles and trials and tribulations that we go through aren't also true. I think it's kind of twofold. Yes, we're soft, but that doesn't mean our problems are that much smaller. Our problems in society today are actually a little bit more complex. And just kind of talking with a lot of friends, like, the addition of the, like, kind of smartphone has kind of made a lot of our problems a little bit bigger. Before, a lot of people would express a lot of their opinions and how they felt about certain people up to their face. But now you see a lot of backhanded stuff, a lot of, like, behind the people's backs, like, I'm not going to tell this person this, but, like, to their face, I'm going to be all kind of roses and daisies, but behind their back, I'm going to text behind someone's back, like, blah, 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 like, so I think it's kind of twofold with the technology today, because it's the problems today are a little bit more complex. Not to say they're different. I think communication just has become such a lost art that people don't know how to communicate with each other, and it's leading to a very, very, like, it's leading to a society that it's not conducive for a lot of people to kind of live in, especially older generation struggles communicating with the younger generation and kind of vice versa. That's why we kind of see a lot of strife between kids and their parents, because it's tough to communicate now, because you can't communicate the same way you were before. and kind of the mental kind of challenges we face. I want to use Suni Lee as an example. She went through a lot mentally, and a lot of people kind of clowned her for kind of Suni Lee's an athlete, and she got clowned for not necessarily trying all the time because she was going through stuff, but she didn't let people know, so they just assumed, oh, she's washed, she's overrated, and she took that, and she just kept working and kept working. I mean, she went through a lot, and it's tough because not everyone talks to each other, so it's tough to not understand the full picture, and still we have people that still go to such lengths to degrade people. And I don't know if that's like a sense of jealousy or what it is, but we live in a society that's tough to live in. And I think having an outlet is key for all of us to be able to live in today's kind of society. I think having, like, not to say therapy is everyone's kind of cup of tea, but I definitely think therapy is a great place to have to be able to kind of talk with your problems. And therapy doesn't have to mean always with a shrink. It could be with a trusted friend. It could be with a family member. It could be with anyone. And I think it's definitely beneficial to talk with someone. I think talking with someone is definitely something that we all need. And in life, when we kind of go through what we go through, having someone that has your back is key. And through my life, I have, in a way, it's kind of funny. Before kind of this year, I really didn't have, I guess, the quote-unquote, like, best friend, right? And it was tough because I was cool with everyone at my high school, cool with everyone in my college, cool with everyone at Lindenwood. But when it came to, like, who I talked to all the time, who I felt had my back, it was tough at times because I would see everyone have, like, their best friends, their best everything, and I didn't really have that. And up until this year, it was kind of tough because when you think ahead, like, oh, if I get married, who's kind of your best man? And I didn't know. And I felt dejected about that, but things happen how they're supposed to, and I feel as though I kind of found that. Not to say you need a best friend to kind of be you and be your best possible self, but for me, it kind of felt that way, and it kind of happened how it's supposed to, and I'm incredibly thankful for kind of the situation I'm in now. I'm in a better headspace about it, and it's a blessing, and just thankful for the ability to kind of go through that kind of mental resilience of, yeah, it's tough now, but it can't always be tough, right? So just understanding that we are more than our self-doubt. We are more than the things that we go through. Whatever we put our mind to is what, kind of in a way, what we truly are. We are a personification of our actions. And what I mean by that is, what we put out there to the world is who we are. But to ourselves, we can be a little bit different than that. And understanding that not necessarily all the things that we put out there have to be you. I mean, yeah, do we code switch? Yes. I think we all code switch into different people. Not necessarily people, but we definitely code switch to a point where we act a little bit different around different people. I definitely do this. With my parents, with my friends, with my different groups of friends, and with my kind of family, like kind of a way, extended family, and even with my teachers. I'm respectable John here, I'm kind of funny John here, I'm son John here, I'm brother John here, I'm soccer player John. I definitely code switch to my kind of audience, and that's okay, but when it comes to understanding what it takes to be, kind of taking it back all full circle, what it takes to be an athlete it takes a lot of mental resilience, and I don't think people understand that point. And I just kind of wanted to kind of start a podcast where it's open dialogue. I mean, what we kind of feel is not necessarily conducive for ourselves, it probably isn't. And understanding that our instincts are most of the time right when it comes to how we feel about certain things. And understanding our mentals is just as important as understanding our physical limitations. We have our limitations mentally, of course, just as much as we do our physical. And that's definitely something that a lot of people don't understand. The mental part of the game is just as important as the physical, if not more, because we can control a lot of the physical kind of things. You can control your fervor, you can control your work rate, you can control the controllables. But when it comes to the mental, it's harder at times to control those if you're out of practice with it. You have to practice your mental kind of resilience just as much as your physical resilience. Me running 2 miles in a test for 2 miles in 12 minutes, that takes as much physical fortitude as it does for me to teach myself how to be happy without sports. And that's just kind of what I want everyone to understand. Sports without mental fortitude, it's not really sports, just people just running around. And that's just kind of what I wanted to get out of this. Mental health is so key in a lot of the athletes, and it's like none of us even know it. So how do we move on? How do we get to a point where mental health is something that's not only understood, but something that people can kind of have discussions about without feeling kind of to a point where they don't want to talk. They don't want to even feel as if this is, I guess a better way to put it, the stigma behind mental health within sports is at a point where athletes just have to bury it. And is that right? It's up to you. Everyone's different. But what I wanted to get out of this is, how do we get to a point where we all, and not just athletes, people in general, how do we all get to a point where everyone feels that they can be them within their sport? Because a person has to be themselves to be the best possible player in their sport. So how can we do that? But yeah, I mean, if anyone wants to kind of reach out to me, I mean, I'll leave my phone number at the end, because we're all in this together. And I truly, truly mean that. We're all in this together, athlete or not. And we all have to kind of buy in into that kind of mantra of we're all in this together. Because there's no sports without the people. And we're getting to a point where a lot of talent is not in the certain sports that they're playing because of how they're feeling. Confidence is key.
Thank you for tuning in to Mental Edge, Unlocking the Mind of Athletes. We hope today's episode left you inspired, motivated, and ready to tackle your own challenges, both on and off the field. Remember, resilience and growth are key to success, both in sports and in life. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. Your feedback helps us reach more listeners and continue growing as we continue to have important conversations about mental health in sports. This is John Gates reminding you to stay strong, stay focused, and keep sharpening your mental edge. See you guys next time. Artlist.io.